We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on into the boardroom. I am today's host, Josh, and I'm joined by Johnny, who's in the lobby of our hotel. I'm in the room of our hotel, and we're joined by someone on a train named Robert, and we will be discussing our overtime victory at Madison Square Garden in the Jimmy V Classic of Illinois over Texas. What a game it was last night. Started out with interesting back and forth where we were leading at half, and then maybe the worst 10 minutes we've played. Maybe actually the Virginia game was more of the worst 10 minutes we've played in last 4 minutes we've played this season, but pretty bad 10 minutes by the Illini. And then a little spark plug off the bench, Sincere mixture with pretty much everyone else, got us to overtime, especially Jaden, and then Terrence Shannon show in overtime to let the Illini win. Johnny, what was your initial reaction after the game? Let me know what you got.
It was an absolute roller coaster. One of the biggest wins in Brad Underwood's career at Illinois. I mean, non-conference wins. He, like, the only ones you could compare to were Duke, beating UCLA and beating the number two team in the country. And the way that you did it, were in the water and then just willed its way back. And like, you can just see this team clamping teams down defensively. And because of that, they can stay in it. Did a very similar thing against Maryland. Ultimately, they didn't make a few plays at the end to win the game, but it just sticking around, and your freshman makes two huge free throws to tie the game. I mean, out of anyone on that, Jaden Epps is the guy I want shooting free throws from now on. And I mean, we also haven't even mentioned Matt Meyer being unconscious of carrying us. It was a crazy game. It was awesome to be at MSG where there were so many Illini fans traveling. We got yelled at for standing up. We'll talk about that later. Great experience. And the only real, like you talked about, there was a 10-minute stretch where we were playing poorly that Robert sitting with us in our seats. So fortunately, we were able to get rid of the bad luck as he walked away to pace, and the rest was history.
The one thing that you said about how Jaden Epps is the guy that you want to be shooting those free throws from now on. Matthew Meyer, after the game, who had an unconscious night, as you said, those were his exact words. I listened to his post-game interview, and it was like, I wanted Jaden there. I think he said he told Fletch, there's no one else I'd rather have shooting these free throws at this moment of the game at MSG than Jaden Epps, which is just a wild statement for your like grad transfer star to say about a freshman who wasn't even like top 10 in the country. He wanted Jaden Epps to be shooting those free throws, which thank God he knocked them down.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it says a lot about a guy who he's played with Davion Mitchell. He's played with a lot of really good, and he has the confidence in a freshman like Jaden Epps. And it was great redemption for him too, because he caught some flack shooting a three when he hadn't really been in sync of the game, and he hit a massive three right before he hit those free throws after the confusing timeout, and it was a crazy game. Between that, the goaltending that was not a goaltend, like just a common basketball game and a very uncommon result for us to like win in a big game like that. It was awesome.
You're just taking a guess. How fast am I going right now?
You're going pretty fast, and we can hear the train horn. Like, I think every time you try to speak, the horn is like trying to interrupt you.
Just take. I need guesses. I need actual guesses. How fast? Little app on my phone that GPS tracks me, gives you 3 minutes or how fast you're going. So
like,
how fast am I going?
90 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was gonna say like U.S. trains don't go that fast. like comparatively to other high speed transit in other parts of the world. So yeah, 90 is probably a good guess. I'll guess underneath that so I can prices right you. Let's do like 50.
I'm going 124 miles an hour.
Respect to Amtrak.
That's amazing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, train travel in the, I'm not going to go off on train, but seriously, like the trip from DC to New Jersey is like really, really quick on a train because they have these new tracks here that allow for these trains to go 125 miles an hour. So when you're zipping along on 25, you're hey man, like I know it's not going to get in as fast as a airplane, but trains are the bomb. So welcome to Train Talk. This is your host Robert. I'm I don't know, a game the next day after a game, like I'm still in this, I don't know, processing mode of like, man, what like Harris is better than we thought. Epps is way better than we thought. Like I'm sitting here thinking through like rankings of like one of you's near the computer. Who was it that had Harris so low? Was it Rivals that had him really low?
I'll look through it, but I think it could have been Rivals. Maybe what
there was actually one that had Harris like 125 or something like that in the class. Like that block last night. How does anyone see athleticism like that and not have that kid in the top 100? I'll just never understand rankings.
And it's crazy too. Our freshman class, I have so much confidence in Sky and Ty Rogers to be great players. Like Ty played on Team USA. Sky is starting as a freshman, and the two guys who are lower ranked are the ones who are really like contributing at a high level right now. It just speaks to how good of a class Underwood put together.
It was ESPN who didn't have it. It was ESPN. They didn't even rank him in the top 100.
And then somebody had Epps out of the top 100, right?
Was that on someone, three?
It might have been. Might have been that. That might be what I'm thinking of. But yeah, I mean, to play this well in Madison Square Garden as true freshman against number two, you can't say anything but they're both top 50 recruits.
And
just what they've shown, athleticism and skill and shooting and everything else, there's no way they're not top 50 recruits.
And it Brad says it each and every year when he does his like recruiting class like breakdown on signing day, and he'll always use the quote, and I think he used it in his press conference last night, being like, I just get winners. Like the reason like they stepped up is because I recruit kids strictly from winning programs. They win their state championship. They win a lot of games. And those are the types of plays that both of those two kids last night, Harris and Epps, made. And like it's strictly because they came from winning programs. They know what they need to do in those like tight game situations to come back against the number two team. Granted, it wasn't on the stage of being at Madison Square Garden on an ESPN like marquee event, but I mean, it's just that experience to know exactly what to do in those situations, to have the balls to make big shots and not care about an opposing crowd. Like that's just that proves Brad's point of like, we only can grab players from winning programs. It helps tenfold.
The first time I interviewed Underwood, which is probably the best question I've ever asked him. So this was in St. Louis when he was doing the little media tour after being hired. It was the day he went to visit Tillman and not Pickett, which caused Pickett to decommit. I asked him that. Like, I was just asking, like, general questions. Like, okay, you're out recruiting. What are you looking for? I got to go back and listen to the answer again. Because he said basically everything that we're hearing and seeing now, which is, I'm not really watching the basketball all that much. Like, how do they respond with their teammates? What are they like on their team? How good is their AAU team? How good is their high school team? Do they make that team better? You know, he surprised me by answering not talking about any basketball stuff. You know, he just talked about, like, He's looking for a certain mentality in a player. And here we're seeing it play out, right? I mean, we're seeing it play out with the guys he brought in from, you know, that went elsewhere, that brought in for visits. I mean, Colin Castleton, look at him right now. Look at what Drew Timmy is doing. Like, he has gone out and identified these guys in the summer and during high school season and found these winners. It's crazy amazing.
And how about his 2019 class that had Curbelo, Adam Miller, both guys who were like clearly great recruits, and his third best guy ranked 168th in the country composite is now top 30 on NBA boards, Coleman Hawkins. Like, his ability to identify talent, and Coleman was a player on his high school team, to just find guys who are really good at their roles, it's incredible, his talent evaluation.
Yeah,
RJ Melendez. I mean,
yeah.
The Coleman thing, like, last night wasn't his best, like, offensive game. And the last podcast we had, I went on a full rant of apologizing to Johnny because of his our little, like, let's call it a dust up in Vegas about Coleman. But he didn't have the best offensive game. He missed two, like, sort of important free throws. Thank God the game was put away anyways. But everything else he did, which is going to be shocking for me to say this, off the ball, like, in playing defense, identify, like, making extremely key passes to find an open shooter, was just so massive. He wasn't the best player he wasn't the best scorer on the floor, but he was still potentially the best player, helping everyone else, like, do their thing. And it just goes back to what you said, identifying players, what Brad said, identifying players who will do their role in the best way possible, to help Illinois win basketball games. We do need to talk about Meyer. Like, we mentioned him. Like, it's crazy how, like, he's had just, like, not the best start in the last, to start of this season. And he said he's been dealing with some injuries that he did say that he didn't tell the coaches about, but he told the training staff he's been dealing with injuries and he's not still 100%. But, like, in the biggest stage game so far to date, he's had his best game. He shot 8 for 10. That's, like, shooting not well to start the season and him going 8 for 10 today, last night, that was wild.
You know, Meyer
was awesome.
I don't know if you guys noticed this. I noticed it probably so after I left you guys and was walking around looking for the British couple, I was standing kind of down behind the south basket, behind one of the baskets in the upper deck. And I noticed this. Meyer hit a three somewhere or did something somewhere in the second half. He was his fifth three. The NBA fans that were, how do I say it? Like, the local fans were like, hey, two, four great college teams, let's just go check it out. You know, those who watch basketball for the individual efforts. You know, I noticed this when I went to Io's, like, Futures game last year in Cleveland. Like, you know, it's just a different type of crowd when it's an NBA crowd because they want individual plays. They want to be wowed by something. Those people all freaking loved Matthew Meyer last night. You know, they were going nuts over this tall, skinny 6'9" guy doing step back threes, and he'd hit another one and they'd get louder, and he'd hit another one and get louder. So that was kind of a fun thing of a neutral crowd like that. But not only do you have Illinois fans there and you have some Texas fans there, and it has a bragging rights kind of feel, you also had some local fans there just to watch basketball, and they loved them some Matthew Meyer. So that was fun.
Yeah, and you could just see his rhythm, you know, like, he's hitting these step back threes and not even getting that much separation. Just his ability to hit those shots was pretty awesome. And that was reminiscent of the Baylor game when we played them and other times where he just had, like, a certain level of swag and confidence that he's like, yeah, I'm playing with the best players in the world, and I think I'm the best guy on the court. So hopefully we continue to see that in Big Ten play. And Robert, I just saw on Twitter that Jeff Brohm and Louisville are in the process of finalizing a deal That would be 6 years, $35 million.
Really?
Yes.
Why so, not?
I guess.
He must know. You know my theory every time a coach leaves after winning, he must know that his freshman and sophomore talent, that he's in for a couple rough years. That's always, always, always my theory. When a coach doesn't leave at one point, he's seen his roster. He knows, hey, next couple years, I'm going to be pretty good. When he then does leave, it's usually, oh, man, that 2021 class wasn't what we thought it would be, and I don't like these 2022 guys as much, and, you know, we're going to have to rebuild after this year. So, you know, it's going to be rough times ahead.
I mean, makes sense with Aiden O'Connell leaving too. Like, you got to do a little bit of rebuilding offensively. You're not going to have Charlie Jones. So, hey, the Big Ten West giveth and taketh with coaches. I mean,
if true, that's three new coaches next year. I was just saying to somebody last week, like, somebody came up to me at the Northwestern game and just had that question. They said, hey, Luke Fickell is in the Big Ten West now, and Matt Rhule, are you worried, you know, that these programs are going to get realigned? And I'm like, A, Big Ten West has one more year and then it doesn't exist. But B, we have a head start. You know, we have 2 years of building this thing ahead of everyone else, and that's a huge advantage at, you know, a turnover time like this, that you're going into year three when everybody else is in year one. So, really fascinating if true. And if they go to pods for Big Ten football, and you know, you have games against the same three teams every year, and then you rotate five different opponents, six different opponents every other year kind of thing, likely Purdue because of the cannon would be in our pod. So anything to make Purdue bad is good for us.
It's funny that a miniature, I don't know, 1 foot cannon is the reason why we might be playing Purdue every year, which is awesome. I would love that. But
that's the most, you're right. Why is it a big deal? Well, there's this little toy cannon and it means a lot. That's it. Thing. It's like one of those things I wouldn't be able to explain to my wife at all. She wouldn't get it. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But, well, yeah, it does to me, but you're right.
Yes, and also the reason why you're playing Ohio State is because of a turtle. Back to, like, the basketball game. I mean, still, I think we're all just almost in crazy that was. And I think you said it really well, Robert, that there wasn't even that much, the mecca of basketball, Madison Square Garden. It was another neutral game where Illinois is playing a top five team in the country, and the Illini fans traveled and helped our team just like it did against UCLA. And it's such an encouraging thing about our fan base that I think maybe nationally it doesn't. And hopefully we'll see it with the bowl game, the same sort of traveling. But it's really an awesome day.
Yeah, we should probably tell the story when I came over to see you guys. So at halftime, we met up in the concourse, seat next to you. So I went in and sat next to you while we were standing waiting for action to stop. Cannon hit a shot, and then somebody else scored, right? Somebody hit a three. Maybe that was Myers three. I don't remember. But once I sat down, entire time I was sitting with you guys, what was it, 14-2? Was that the score?
Yeah, it was 14-2. And I think when we were waiting to get seated.
Actually, I think the two of the 14-2 was the Shannon goaltend.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I don't think I ever saw a shot go through the hoop while seated with you guys.
You did not. You did not. Just a wild. You leave, and we yes. made you left on your own accord, but we were all kind of thinking it.
Yes. Hey, thanks for coming over here, but did you leave now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Duke couple next to you was not happy with me for I got her wrong, but that's okay. It's funny. So I went around. That one guy came up to introduce himself as I was going around. The guy who came by later when we were standing, that guy with his wife, he came up and I told him, I'm like, I just went and sat with these guys and we gave up 14-2 runs. So this is my fault. I'm like, now that I'm leaving them, we're going to win. And he's like, okay, I'll count on it. And sure enough, as soon as I left you guys, they start our comeback. We creep all the way back, we get into it, and that's that. So I'm sorry, but we can't we're again at any game ever.
Yeah, we're not allowed to sit next to each other. I've already made that a note in my head. What I'll say about, and Johnny brought up what Robert wrote about, it wasn't about the Mecca. Like I keep in my notes app all the games that I go to. It's a fun thing that I started recently, and I've tried to like date myself back. I've gotten to like all the games I've been to since 2016, and I can't count all the Orange Crush or football Memorial Stadium games that I went to, because I can't think of all of them. I can like look at a calendar and probably guess, but it's not going to be accurate. But in my mind, I have two separate sections, like one of like atmosphere of Illini fans, like just like kind of like games to be at. And then the other one is like actual good games where like Illinois had a great win, and like games to be at, like this didn't rank close. I thought like we planned a trip to come out to New York because it's the Jimmy V Classic. In my mind, I've always like hyped up this event. I always turn it on no matter who's playing when I was a kid. And so I was like very excited to come to Madison Square Garden to watch Illinois in this game against the number two team in the country. And so I was like really excited for the atmosphere, thought it would be much more like crazy than it was. And turns out MSG, in my opinion, was a little overrated. It didn't impact the game. But on that other list of like big time Illinois wins, this one's towards the top. If not one of the top two or three games that I've seen Illinois win in. Granted, like I went to school during probably the worst 4-year stretch that Illinois football and basketball had. But this is definitely top two or three. Doesn't come close like to the type of craziness that the Friday night UCLA game was. And I've said this to people, but like that game itself is in my top three, along with like winning the Big Ten championship in Indy and winning the Big Ten championship at home against Iowa. Those are my top three like games I was at for atmosphere wise. This one doesn't come close, but I don't know, Johnny, if you have similar types of rankings or other types of ways that you track your games, but how does that this one stack up in terms of just like atmosphere and games you are at?
Yeah, in terms of atmosphere, just because it is neutral and we weren't in the Illini section. I mean, there's Duke fans by us, there's Texas fans by us, so it wasn't quite as loud. But I do agree with you in terms of like important wins. We've never seen us beat number two in a neutral site like that. I mean, we saw the IO Michigan State freshman year game. Which was that atmosphere was awesome. And that was so much fun. And that's kind of on that first list you were alluding to, right below, say like beating Iowa to win a Big Ten championship. Like that was an incredible atmosphere. Same thing with UCLA, but I totally agree with the points that you were making. Was it the craziest crowd ever?
The picture game?
Yes, that was a picture game. That was the first time the three of us met in person.
The source of this podcast existed.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there. And then in terms of football, also in the top five is Michigan State on the road, which is
right.
Also somewhat the source of this podcast. But it was a lot of fun. And also, Josh, when you were talking about, Jimmy V Classics, like that was always a big game. Then I was just curious, okay, I go on Wikipedia, what were past Jimmy V Classics game? And then I realized that when we played Baylor against Matt Meyer, that was a Jimmy V Classic game, which I forgot. So
I did not realize
really,
that.
That's Matt Meyer's like source of power is anytime there's a Jimmy V Classic game, he's going crazy.
Yeah, that was a so funny. I mean, that was I've said this many times, the deadest atmosphere you know, because how many does that Banker's Life or whatever they call it now, how many is that seat in Indy? It's like 18,000, 19,000. So, you know, for an arena that size, an NBA arena that size, to be empty and only like 75 people in the building, you know, that it was just that was the weirdest college basketball atmosphere I've ever seen. Because, you know, Meyer's going off there in the second half, and there's just like one Baylor AD up in the upper deck clapping. It was just so bizarre. But yeah, atmosphere wise, it's so funny. You guys are talking about this as, you know, from recent years, and for neutral games and travel games, like some of my top ones are the ones you're mentioning. You know, like I feel like you guys would be expecting me to sit here and say, well, you know, when we went here in 98, or, you know, I mean, I've never been to Maui, and I'm sure Maui 13 was awesome, and I'm sure Maui 01 was awesome. I'm, you know, in a small gym like that, but really, we're really, really, really doing a lot of stuff that we haven't done in a super long time. You're seeing a great era for these neutral games and road games where we're coming out with big victories.
I think this stat that it's not strictly about like non-conference or like neutral away games, but like Brad Underwood, I would, if you look back at any Illinois former coach, so you would not find a stat that comes near Brad Underwood being 12-5 against top 10 teams in his Illinois basketball career, Illinois basketball history. Like the record that he has against these teams is just absurd. And it comes down to, I mean, it's all just been in the last few years, which is just wild to think about.
Dang, I need to see that stat, because that's pretty crazy. And like, I know
Go for it.
Or go for it, yep.
No, I was just trying to think, like without looking it up, can we kind of think through what that is? I know it's just
I like this game. You're saying, can we come up with the 12 wins over top 10 teams?
Yeah. I think I can get halfway there right okay. now. You have Texas.
Each of us has to get one. No, so we're getting round robin.
I already gave Texas. I gave Texas.
Okay, so you gave the Texas game. There's one. Johnny, you're up.
Okay, Ohio State and the
Ohio State won.
Big Ten tournament in that championship game.
Okay.
Actually, maybe not. They were a two seed like that seven. Year. Yeah. Like okay.
Yeah.
Or five. They were top 10. The obvious, let's get Michigan out of the way. Michigan in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wasn't UCLA just ranked in the top 10 when we beat them?
Yeah. Were they eight?
Yeah.
They were eight. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's four.
Okay. I'll go Iowa at home against Luka Garza.
Yeah.
Is that? Is it?
I want to say we were. They might have been like nine. That nope. We might have been like.
Are you talking the one just before?
No, no, COVID, no. I'm talking about COVID year, 2021.
Oh, okay.
That our season kind of turned around a little bit.
Yeah, like late January or something like
yes.
that. Yeah, yes. Yes. Who's verifying me? Josh, you are?
Which I guess.
You get the, kind of cheat.
Well, no, I'm not verifying
let's
anything right now.
Them down. Yeah.
We'll yeah, okay, write one them second. All down. I'll write it down right now.
Right now, what are we at? Are we at?
We have UCLA, five? Texas, Iowa 2021. Iowa 21. We have Ohio State, Big Ten Championship, and we have what's the one that
Michigan.
We've Michigan 2021. Okay. Is it no? It's Robert's
it's
turn.
It's you, Robert.
Oh, okay. Read the five we have again.
UCLA, Texas, Iowa in 21, Ohio State, Big Ten tournament, Michigan 2021.
Iowa Big Ten tournament 21.
Okay.
Then
I don't know if they
no,
were
no.
Top
yeah, I just looked
they were
that
like
up. 11, I looked that up. They 13. Were five. They were five.
They were five? Okay.
Yes. So
Iowa Big Ten tournament 20.
Okay. I'm going to go with I'm pretty sure if Ohio State was ranked in the top 10 for the Big Ten tournament in 21, then they were ranked in the top 10 when we beat them right before that, like the second to last game of the season. So there, I think that was like a...
When DeMonte hit that three, and that, that was like Iowa's game back. Yeah, they were.
Correct. All right. I'm going with that. I wanted to try to find hard ones. Yeah.
Okay, so then I'm going to go when we beat Michigan State in 2019.
This is Storm the Core 2019?
29, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, they were 10. That was the one I was avoiding because I knew that one was obvious.
Yeah. That was the one I was going to go with next. So let me think here. What was Wisconsin for the Iowa shot? It started really well.
What year? So I can just Google that one specifically.
January 2020, the win at Wisconsin, the shot over Davidson.
All right, 1 sec. They were ranked 17.
Okay. Well, that's one strike for me. I'm in Trenton. I should know that. That looks like the capital building. Is Trenton the capital of New Jersey? Go back to fifth grade. Something to tell.
Sorry, say it again.
Mumbling about whether Trenton is the capital of New Jersey.
It is.
Hold on. We almost beat Maryland when they were like that game. Oh, wait, what? Played them in Madison Square Garden, the Tevin Young.
Oh, let me look. And also, I just, it came up when I typed it in, it's 12-5 in the last 17 games against a top 10 team. He's 12-10 overall. So that kind of changes things a little bit, but.
So he lost the first spot. Wait, at Illinois or overall, including like 21
maybe,
games?
Maybe I reread that wrong. Let me confirm.
Either way, what have we named 8 so far?
Yeah. Nine.
I can think of at least 2 more.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We've named 8, yeah. All right, go, Johnny. I'm missing it. Like, I can't think of it right
okay.
now.
Okay, one that you're going to be surprised by, and maybe it doesn't have the same weight, but at the time they were number 10, was Duke, the ACC.
Got
the
it. 10.
Oh, yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
You love him. Johnny, give us your next one.
Michigan State. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the next one is 2020, the first win against Michigan. So it was, I think, December 2019 at home.
Five.
Michigan, yeah. Yes.
Yep. They had won in Maui and went from like, or they won some Thanksgiving tournament and went from unranked to like fifth.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. I know so everyone's loving this content.
So that's 10. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed for myself right now. Like, I've been to so many of these games and I can't think of top 10. Like, I'm thinking of a time we beat Michigan State and they were like falsely ranked high.
Oh,
like this
wait, what about that? The culture win. Were they a top 10 team?
Yeah. 55, 54. Yes, that was. Yes. The one where they missed the free throw. With
yes, exactly, yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. That's funny that's how we refer to that game. But let's see. What were they ranked? Yeah, number 10. And, I mean, what I love about this exercise is just how many we've rattled off. Like, it's almost normal at this point. It's like, oh, yeah, that top 10 win and that top. Right. Like, And just looking at that win against Michigan State, I go to the schedule, and two games later is we beat number 11 Wisconsin by 13 points. So that beating number 11 doesn't even get to be added on that stat. So
yeah. All right, I'm starting to go back on because I'm gonna verify you guys now, but this one just shocked me, and I'm pretty sure you guys didn't just say this. So in February of 2020, Penn State was ranked number 9.
That's right. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yep. That was the IO return
that was
game.
The IO. Yeah. IO down the lane. You won't go left.
Which way does 11 go?
Sure.
That was how could I forget that game? That's an all timer.
Yep, that's right. And then they lost like 5 of 6, and we're like an 8 seed.
I think does that not cover it?
Good.
Yeah, I think that's
so. Read them along.
Okay, so UCLA, Texas, Iowa, 21. Ohio State Big Ten tournament, Ohio State right before the Big Ten tournament, Michigan 2021, Iowa Big Ten tournament, Michigan State 2019, Duke. We just said Penn State, the culture win, which one was that? Just so I know.
2022.
All right. And then the one I think, and maybe it's part of this list, but there's Michigan 2020 as well.
Which is the December of 2019.
Exactly.
Yes. So that's a list. Crazy stats, and the losses are like Maryland's because we never win at Maryland like twice.
But the Maryland was like we almost beat them, right? Like they went on like a 15-3 run to win the game by one.
That was right before, but we also lost them later in the year when they were ranked 9.
Oh yeah, that's the that Friday night.
Came out on
fire and then fell apart.
Right.
Had like an 11-point lead and then lost by 15.
That was the time. That's the time where, so Johnny and I, when we lived in Wrigley, Johnny still lives in Wrigley. We lived right next to Brick House though. And like we started going to Brick House, like just for a line of games, cause there's watch party there. And we never saw a win. We would always walk in like expecting some type of amazing time at a bar, watching the game where we live. Never came out with the victory. The sad 5-step walk home to where we lived was the most sad we ever are.
We saw one win, and Josh was working that day, and that was the IO buzzer beater.
Yep.
You know, Josh just had to work on a Saturday during busy season. It happens sometimes. But a couple of losses too recently are the MLK Day Purdue double overtime loss, and then losing at Purdue. But it's interesting, like even the Maryland one, the double overtime Purdue one, these are like really close. Just the level of competitiveness is crazy.
I mean, look at the losses. We've played number 2, 8, and whatever Maryland was after beating them. I'm talking KenPom here. Yeah, we played 4 top 20 teams. And we were tied with Virginia with 4 minutes to go and tied with Maryland.
We were beating Virginia at the under 4.
Yep. Yep.
And tied with Maryland.
We are a couple plays from, I can't believe I'm going to say this. We're a couple plays from having an argument for top 3.
Yep. 100%.
In the country. I'm going to say it to myself 2 more times. We're a couple plays from having an argument. We're a couple plays from legitimately some people putting us first. And we're a couple plays from maybe thinking of in terms of our. How deep is this March run and does it get us to where we want to be?
Right.
Yeah, kind of like how we're a couple plays from a Brian Hightower, an offensive pass interference and a pick play. Those 3 plays and we're in the college football playoff. It's all you need is refs to do their job.
Johnny, this is crazy because the thoughts that are going through my head right now, and I was gonna put like I was gonna zoom out even further from football, but exactly right with football, where Whitman has hired coaches where the previous coach didn't keep us in these games. Like we could potentially like have the most shocking upset against a top 10 team like Wisconsin. And with a game-winning field goal where we could potentially have that, but we're never usually in these close games in big time scenarios. But now with Brett, we're at a shot where we're at least keeping it close all of the time. At the beginning of Brad's tenure, it was, we were keeping it close. Like that Maryland game we were just talking about, both of those Maryland games before, but now we're actually winning. We're winning these games with Brad. Hopefully, and it, we all think that with Brett, we are going to be winning those types of games where these ranked matchups on the road or a neutral floor or even at home, like we should walk into the game with a good chance, with knowing that we're going to A, keep it close, and then like get to the point where we're going to win these like at least 50% of the time, if not more. Like before, we never kept it close and we never won. Now we're actually winning these games. And I'm going to make one more statement just because it should be mentioned. I kind of see it with Shauna Green in women's basketball too. Like we were in the game with the fifth ranked team in the country at Indiana, just a wild turnaround. And hopefully, I mean, we have no idea. We're at a very small sample size with her, but we'll stay close and competitive in the Big Ten for the rest of the season with her. And then we start winning those games.
Okay, I have a great final thought. When's the last time we weren't in a game? Football and basketball. We're in all 12 football games this year, which we haven't been able to say since 2007. And 2007 had the Rose Bowl, and we weren't really in the Rose Bowl. But I guess we were. We're real fumble. Anyway, when's the last time we've been in every basketball game this year, despite playing four top 20 teams? We've been every football game. Last spring, let's see, we were in the Houston game. The Melendez team, we were down 4. It fell apart from there, but it's not like we were just out of it. It wasn't even like the Loyola game the year before where they were running away from the start. But I mean, I'm trying to go through my brain.
Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin at homecoming.
Well, maybe basketball games.
Saying we were in every basketball game last year.
I'm going to have to look through the
schedule. Looking at our losses, I mean, we had that Purdue loss on the road where we lost by 16.
Oh, we let it happen. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The Rutgers loss.
We got that 10-0 run from whatever that kid is who scored like 70 points the entire year.
Yeah. The Rutgers loss.
That was maybe it. Like they held us. They kept us at bay most of the game at Rutgers.
All right. That was December 3rd of 2021. We're at December 7th of 2022 today. So over a year.
No, different Rutgers game. This was February of 22.
Wait one second. You're right.
A few days before Trent won the Michigan State game.
Right.
Yep. So that's probably it. What was the final in that Rutgers game?
70-59.
And what was the halftime score? Anyone have a box on that?
Yeah, we were down 39-24, so 9. Yeah.
That's when I left the press area and went and stood and like, yeah, they held us away. So that would be it.
Yes, so we were down 23 at one point in that game. So that was February 16th, 2022. So what I can say is, you mentioned the February 19th was a Trent game. That was the day Josh got engaged. So Josh has been engaged now for 10 months, and Illinois has been in every single game since the engagement.
Should we cancel the wedding and just stay engaged?
Yeah. A forever fiance, because Illinois is good at sports.
This is a step that is washing over me right now. Like, we have been in every game for 10 months.
I mean, we're finally in every game, and it's like I think that's all we asked for in our 4 years of school, which was 4 years ago. And we finally got into that point. And it's just, it's thrilling. I'm really happy that we made the trip to New York, albeit a very short one. But I mean, as I think everyone says, when they compare this team to last year, if we just talk about strictly basketball now, this team is a fun team to watch. Last year, you knew what was happening, and sometimes like throwing into the post and watching a hook, which is what was thrilling as we were winning games. Like, this is so different. You don't know who's going to shine. You see athleticism that you have never seen in the Illini jersey between multiple different players. And it's just so much fun to watch. And that's my takeaway from coming to New York, of watching this team for the first 8 games of the season. And it's just making me so excited for the rest of the season. We're going to be watching a completely different Illinois team in the Big Ten play than we've seen in years before. And I really like, I do have like this small little like thought in my mind that maybe the athleticism is just not what the Big Ten's about. So we might drop a few, but we will still end up in the tournament, and in the tournament, having that athleticism. I mean, the as Johnny says, every time Sky makes a shot, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, the sky's the limit.
What year were you guys seniors?
2018. Yes. So our was when we went 0-9 in the Big Ten in football, and we lost our first 8 Big Ten basketball games. So we went 0-17.
Okay, so pull up both those schedules.
Yes.
Because this is important. Like, this is really important. Because that was 4 years ago. Okay, 4.5. I'm coming up on 5. All of 17. So 5 years ago. Let's just go through all the games and talk about when we were even in one.
Okay, so we're at the let's do the, you're talking about the 7 losses that we had in Big Ten play to start.
No, I'm talking about all of 17 football and 17-18 basketball.
Yes, so that includes this 0-7 schedule. Yeah, I have the basketball schedule open, Johnny. If you have the football one, that's great. But for the basketball schedule, the Big Ten play didn't start till January 3rd that year.
Okay, let's start,
no, actually, let's, actually, let's no, it didn't. It started in December. Football, yeah, go with football. First,
yeah,
Johnny.
Football. Let's go. Football. Okay, so we win our first 2 games. Then we play at South Florida in Tampa. We'll see you again in Tampa soon. But we lost 47-23. So
Quinn Flowers dominates us. We weren't ever in the game. Tony Adams interception early, but weren't ever in.
We're never in the game. Followed by that bye week, then
and just
we play Nebraska.
Each game.
Nebraska, we lose by 22 points, 28-6. Then Iowa, we lose 45-16, 29.
It was a Reggie Corbin game. Reggie Corbin game at Nebraska, where we surprisingly started Reggie. He did well. Halftime, they said we got to catch that slippery guy or whatever the quote was. We got to tackle him and all that stuff. But we weren't really in the game. It's like that.
Yep. Then, yeah, so then Iowa, 45-16.
Never in the game.
Then we lose to Rutgers, 35-24. That one hurt. That was like our one shot at winning a Big Ten game that year.
The most hate I've ever received for predicting the loss that I wrote. That was the most hated SOC I've ever written.
And it was
I got people in the press box telling me in the elevator, like, who are you, you hater? Anyway, keep going.
Then closest game of the season, 24-17 against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. So we were in that.
Then,
yeah, I remember that game.
Yes. Yes. And then Wisconsin, 24-10. That was like we only lost by 2 touchdowns to number 5 Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. But still, they held us at bay the whole time.
Yeah, but still we lost by 14.
Yep.
Then 29-10 Purdue. At Purdue.
Yep.
Then 24-14 against Indiana. The
Louis
Dorsey touchdown.
Yep.
Then at Ohio State in the rain, 52-14. And then Northwestern, 42-7.
Yep. So we had the Minnesota game where we were in it, but lost. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's start with basketball in the Big Ten season.
All right. So actually, I was wrong. It did start in December that year. We start off with an overtime. Well, both of the first two games of this season were overtime losses. God. The first one was against
Northwestern.
At Northwestern, and then at home to Maryland, we lost by one. Is that? Yeah, that is the game, right, Johnny? Yeah.
Anthony Cowan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the game.
One of multiple Anthony Cowan games, but
the one where he looks me directly in the eyes and tells me.
Threw it away.
Yeah. And Anthony Cowan directly looks me in the eyes and tells me I was like, you blew it in regulation. He goes, I scored 35 points.
You can even see him. There's a video of him interviewing with whoever from the Big Ten is talking to him, and then he kind of gives like a thumbs up to Josh. It's very funny.
Okay, we'll continue. We play at Minnesota and lose by 10, so not in that game. We are then at Michigan. We lose by 10 again, not in that game. Then overtime loss at home to Iowa by 7. So that was my birthday. So yeah, fully remember that game where like we just didn't do everything in overtime and I forgot which 3-point shooter they had, just continued to just hit threes right in our face.
That was a freshman Luka Garza and we're like, wow, I don't like this guy and he's going to be here for a long time.
Then a disgusting game at Nebraska where we lose by 1. I just remember it being disgusting. Boat raced by Wisconsin, 75-50. And then the last one in the series is a home loss to Michigan State by 13. We had a good fake rally in that one, but 13-point loss is a 13-point loss.
I mean, just we can stop there. Like, we just talked about how we've been in every single game since February. And then we went back 5 years and found we were kind of close to Minnesota in football, and we went to overtime with Iowa. Oh, Iowa, Northwestern, and
mm-hmm.
Like, it's – you cannot – like, one of those – grades as a D minus and one of those grades as like a 98% A. It's insane how far we've come.
Yeah, I have nothing more to add on to that. All I'll say is ILL.
Yeah. I mean, I think though it should be noted, like, nationally people talk about Underwood, like this team, they kind of haven't done it on the big stage. And what I think about is how this team was built specifically for the tournament. And what did you do in the non-conference? You won neutral games against number 2 in KenPom and number 8 in KenPom. That's like, you just won an Elite 8 game and a Final 4 game in a neutral site. And now you have that experience to lean on. And even with that, Underwood can't win big games. Well, look at that. He's 12-5 in his last 17 games against top 10 teams. Like, I think
that
narrative is just gone. Exactly. And thinking about how this team lost so many guys, like, if we can win in the tournament this year, I think we can officially say without any questions, Illinois is back and Illinois is a program. Like, before it was seasons, Brad got his guys, he had Io, he had Kofi. Like, you get two good basketball players. At this point, turnover an entire roster, advance in the tournament. Like, that's Illinois as a program is back to where it was in 2000.
Well, we talked all the way from Newark to Philadelphia, so
love it. Enjoy the rest of the train ride home.
All right. I will. I'm still floating on air from last night.
Same as we. So we'll end the podcast with that. This team is back. We are a program, and can't wait for we got bragging rights coming up. So I'm still gonna throw out the record book for that, but hopefully I know our boys will get up for that game. And they will learn what bragging rights is all about. Talk to you guys on the next episode. ILL.